Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
This is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Thaddeus McCotter of American Greatness, my colleague and co-host. And we welcome Malcolm Honlein, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations. There's lots of news in the Middle East, and most of it's threatening. We begin with a story involving the National Security Advisor of the United States, Jake Sullivan, traveling with his colleague, the Middle East Coordinator, Brett McGurk. Thaddeus?
Yes, Malcolm, there has been talk about this pact between the United States and Saudi Arabia. What can you tell us about its status at the present time?
Okay, well, it's good to be both of you again, and certainly a very complicated day today with so many developments and all interlocking, including the story from Saudi Arabia, although more tangential. What we've seen is that there were a series of visits, one by Jake Sullivan, as John pointed out, accompanied by Amos Hochstein and Brett McGurk, to talk about the possibility of the relationship between Saudi Arabia and Israel, something the administration wants to try to accomplish before the end of the year, obviously getting ahead of the upcoming election year. They also want to make some sort of a security arrangement. At least that's the report. Although most assessments say that there's no way that Congress would approve a U.S.-Saudi deal at this time. And one of the things that the Saudis have been seeking is to have some sort of a civilian nuclear program and some sort of a security arrangement with the United States. So I would say that it's unlikely to see the U.S.-Saudi deal very soon. We could see some progress on the Saudi-Israel front. But that too will be complicated. It's something that they have to get through, and they're tying it to developments with the Palestinians, who will, as always, use this as leverage, not because they want to see progress made, but because they're going to look to see how they can advantage this to their own benefit. The reaction in a lot of the Arab world is that they're tired of having the Palestinians exploit this, get money, tens of billions of dollars, and nothing progresses in terms of the people. What is interesting is that over the weekend, there was the announcement of a huge new train that's to go from Kiryat Shemona in Israel's north all the way to its southernmost point at Port of Eilat, a high-speed bullet railroad. I think it's around 250 kilometers long, and it will be a high-speed train that will connect different parts of the country, but will also give the potential for a link to Saudi Arabia, then, that the Saudis could ship material from Eilat to the Mediterranean ports, Haifa, Ashdod, other points, which would save a lot of money and avoid the Suez Canal and other risky places. So this is, Eilat becomes one of the anchor points. The others will be in other parts of the Negev, but as it reaches up through the country, this is one of a number of proposals that has been muted for a long time. We'll see whether anything comes of it. The other visit that's related is that the head of Mossad, Mr. Barnea, is in Washington now, following up, I think, with Sullivan and his team about the developments on the Saudi negotiations. So we'll have to see whether, what comes of it. And I'm sure another subject they're discussing is the revelation that the UAE and China are involved in joint air drills in Xinjiang province today.
Malcolm, there's violence over a broad geography. I have the IDF entering into Jenin to make arrests. I have demos in Gaza by people who live there against the Hamas. I have fighting in Lebanon between Hezbollah and Palestinians. Let's start with the Jenin operation. Is it different than the last time they were in there to arrest and shoot out?
Absolutely. They went in the last time, you know, with 1,000 troops. The stories that came out were false. There were no civilian casualties. There were 12 terrorists who were killed. They did allow the civilians and the militants, extremist terrorists, to escape. And thousands left the city during the as long as the troops were there. Their goal was to hit the infrastructure of terror. In its aftermath, the PA sent in troops and tried to restore their control, which had been completely destroyed in Jenin. They had really no power to exercise. They met a lot of resistance. Today, there were a number of clashes in Jenin. And in fact, a rocket was launched at Israel from Jenin towards northern Israel. And at the same time, we see that the Israeli troops went in and made two arrests, one of a Hamas leader and another of an Islamic Jihad leader. These are the two people they went in for. They took them out. There were no casualties, as far as we know. In the interim, the Palestinian security forces had arrested dozens in Jenin and began trying to reclaim their sovereignty and their security dominance. But we see now that that had limited success in terms of what's going on in Jenin in particular. The Israelis only went in to make these arrests, and they were very senior guys and very important in terms of the battle against terrorism that continues to emanate from Jenin.
Let's stay in the north. You report there's fighting between Hezbollah in Lebanon and Palestinians. Over what? What's the issue?
There's fighting between everybody and anybody in one of the major the camps of Palestinian camps. There was fighting between Palestinian factions over control. And then there was fighting because Hezbollah is obviously the dominant party there. They got involved in this. And while this is going on, there are a variety of meetings that are taking place. There was a meeting at Amal headquarters of all the parties in Amal headquarters in Beirut, and especially the leaders in the camp, Ein Hilwa camp, which is a large one. And they arranged a ceasefire at 6 o'clock, and 10 minutes after six, it was broken and the fighting continued. We know that in the early reports, according to UN and other sources, at least six or eight people were killed, including some children, in the intra-Palestinian fighting. There's fighting also in Sidon, where at least five people, they said, were killed, and as well as in other cities where it spread to. So the violence there is very severe. You know, the conditions are terrible. The Hezbollah is exercising more and more control and takes advantage of these kind of situations to, in fact, exercise greater control. We know that during the few minutes of the ceasefire, people were taken to the hospitals because they were wounded. And there's continuing sniper fire, other things. The efforts to reach some sort of a ceasefire of any kind seems to have failed. Now, the meetings, the diplomatic efforts and the UN role there, there's UNIFIL forces, are not playing any role. We know that there was a meeting last night of the Security Cabinet with the Prime Minister of Israel, and he approved the army plans for dealing with Hezbollah's continued provocations, including crossing the border, attempting to cross the border, but not actually getting into Israeli territory because there's a fence inside Israeli territory. Israel has sent reinforcements there, both combat units, air units, and other kinds. And the they're seeing that this could be a diversion for Hezbollah from the domestic situation. As you know, there's only electricity a few hours a day. There are economic conditions are terrible. And there are incidents going on in each place in Gaza where there was a kidnapping of several TikTokers and dissidents. And they were in a hospital where they had been wounded in some of the demonstrations that are taking place in Gaza, where tens of thousands of people have been demonstrating against Hamas, saying, where's our gas? Where's our electric? In the meantime, their leaders were in Egypt where they were conducting negotiations. First, they started in Ankara, where Abbas and Haniyeh, the head of Hamas, met under President Erdogan's auspices. And then they agreed that a larger meeting would take place in Cairo, which produced, unfortunately, no positive results. And they were not able to agree. Hamas insists on an armed resistance. Abbas says, we want resistance, but not armed, because he has some sense of responsibility to the people. And in the meantime, the people have a few hours of electricity a day because the Hamas parties are stealing everything. And even the charity payments they get from Qatar, for every $100, the Hamas takes away $15 of it, which was another issue that came up. So now we see Fatah sending troops, reinforcement troops to the camps. We see the number of people, of Palestinian refugees, supposedly is about a third of what it was, because they can't live. You know, they're not allowed to take jobs in most fields in Lebanon, if, despite being there for 50 years, 60 years, they haven't been able to find any positions. So the marches are taking place against Gaza, in Gaza, against Hamas, in Lebanon. In the meantime, Hezbollah thinks that they can take advantage of the internal strife in Israel, the debate over the reform legislation. And Nasrallah constantly references this and saying this is a time for them to be able to make a strike because Israel's divided. They believe that Israel's military won't be able to deal with it, which is a complete complete misreading of the situation. And I hope take them to the point where action is necessary.
Let me summarize quickly. We have violence in the West Bank with the IDF making arrests. We have fighting in the north in Lebanon. We have demonstrations and brutality in Gaza. So north, south, east. Now, and you have talks in Ankara and you have talks in Cairo. That's enough bad news. We turn to Thaddeus.
Yes, Malcolm, can you provide us two instances of good news?
Yes, I can. There's actually, and we left out one, and that's in northern Sinai, where there have been big demonstrations against Egypt and a lot of arrests and armed clashes going on. So it seems to be the hot weather is stimulating it. But one of the hot topics is that a new study that came out shows that naming the top three allies of the United States, the American people listed UK, Canada, and Israel as the top allies. This is Pew Research, which is very reliable. The second thing is that an announcement by the House of Representatives, led by Kevin McCarthy, that forming a parliamentary friendship group with the Israeli Knesset, that follows his meeting with the Speaker of the Knesset in Israel. And he was received well. And the speaker, I understand, is coming. And also the address by President Herzog to the joint session of Congress, which was very successful. He appointed 12 members bipartisan under the leadership of David Kustov, a congressman from Tennessee. And Speaker Jeffries spoke out very much in favor of the special relationship and the cooperation that will come as a result of it. So this is, again, another positive sign at a time when people only want to emphasize any tensions that exist on the part of a very small minority, very small, in Congress.
Detail, Malcolm. Does Hezbollah have an opinion of a U.S.-Saudi pact, defense pact? Is that a positive for
Hezbollah? Very much against it. Very much against it. They are against anything that establishes Israel's presence. The Saudi-Israel pact, whatever it would be, even if it's more limited than some.
What about a U.S. Saudi defense pact? Is that an issue for Hezbollah?
It's not directly an issue for Hezbollah. It's an issue for Hezbollah sponsors, which is Iran, which is very much against them making a deal of any kind, and have even given some hostile expressions about it.
So what we have here is the U.S. talking to Saudi Arabia about a defense pact. Hamas, Hezbollah, and the Palestinians are against it. And Israel and Saudi are talking about normalization. Hamas, Hezbollah, and the Palestinians are against it. All correct?
Basically, the Israelis overwhelmingly want it. I think the Saudi government, it'll take time for them to bring the people along,
right?
Because this is a process. But I think that the benefits, I think you can start by having cooperation and show the benefits that they can derive from it, which will help the people. And something that MBS recognized and told me years ago, already, how Israeli technology would be critical, especially as it builds the city of Naomi.
Malcolm Hohlein, Conference of Presidents, sweeping across an area that is right now dominated by violence. Thaddeus McCotter, American Greatness, the dusty one is coming. I'm John Bannon.